Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. And we are continuing our session. We have been talking about the family. And we're going to continue to minister, referencing the family as a nation, referencing other countries as our family and taking it in another perspective as our immediate family that we've been discussing, our loved ones, like our aunts, our uncles, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, nieces, yes, nephews, mom and dad. But I want to talk about the nations today. In Psalms 86 and 9, it says, "All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." As missionaries, we have brothers and sisters of the Lord that are waiting on us to have that mission-mindedness to bring our brothers and sisters from all nations to the Christian family. You know, when I grew up, you know, we used to always call in our church everybody brother and sister. With, you know, Sister Carrie, Sister Joan, Sister, and Sister Gwyneth. And because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And in Psalms 2 and 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the end of the earth for your possession." So we have to know that as children of God, you know, our mission here on earth, and you think about it, you were conceived by your mom and dad, your mom and your dad. When your mother conceived you, over 1 million sperm raced towards that egg. And you were the one in a million that made it to earth. And we're promised 120 years here on earth. But while we are here on earth, we are to be fruitful, yes, and to multiply in the natural realm, but also in the spiritual realm. And also as a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to Abraham, it says that you will, you know, there will be the promise of so many souls that will come to the kingdom as the grains of the sand upon the sea, as numerous as the stars in the sky. That's a promise. And God has sent us here. We've raced through earth, through that dark tunnel, going into the mother's womb and being fertilized in there for 9 months. And now we're born, and we have 120 years, and, you know, the lifespan here on earth to be able to populate heaven and depopulate hell, and to know that the nation of the world is our inheritance. So what I want to focus on today, you know, are we partnering with God? Are we praying? Because, you know, when we pray for souls, we pray for revival. You know, if you know Jack Hafer, this is a wonderful quote. He said that prayer is essentially a partnership of the redeemed child of God working hand in hand with God towards the realization of his redemption purposes while we are here on earth. And here's another a great quote. It says, "A man may go inside today and shut his door and really spend an hour in India for God, although he were there in person." So, I mean, how many of you have had even experiences in your prayer time where you're praying? I know in my prayer time, I have been to different countries. I've been to different people beside their sick bed, just praying for them. You know, God can, he can use us where we are, but the family of God is looking for the sons and the daughters to rise up and to be able to take their place in the kingdom of God. And as we pray every day, God will position us into a place where we can be able to take the kingdom of God. And again, I love it how Jack Hafer said, God's working hand in hand with God towards the realization of his redemptive purposes while we're on earth. And that's what we're to do, because we're in partnership with God as redeemed children, as his children, as his sons and daughters. And so we're decreeing today the nations of God, that they are our inheritance. You know, God is saying, he's saying, ask of me, and I will give you the nations. And all we have to do is really ask of God. And so many missionaries that have gone in and asked, Lord, for the land or asked, and the people, there has been a revival. But I believe in this season, God is calling for us for global intercession. And there's spiritual warfare, there's prophetic worship that are going to play a major role in the church's mission in order for us to be able to advance into the kingdom of God. So how many times do we really pray outside of our immediate family that we've spent so much time on and a lot of time on in the last 4 months? But today we're extending it to a global intercession and having that prophetic worship and prayer that plays a role in the sons and the daughters coming forth. There's a quote by a great man, and he says, many believe that God is appointing this present hour as a unique Kairos hour of opportunity for the completion of world evangelization. That was Hawthorne and Kendrick. So if we follow even Paul's line of thought, we'll recognize that this is the opportune time. And assigned missionaries, it just won't be enough for us to be able to go to meet the moment. It's going to require every family within God's people to pray for every person in every place. So that's the question today. Are we ready to pray? Are we ready to get into intercession, to pray for globalization? And even as we're getting ready to enter into our international global summit, we are praying for the nations to come forth, because it's going to require every family within God's people to pray for every person in every place. So today, I want you just to really think about, you know, how can you pray? More prayer is needed at this junction than ever before. It's time for us to bring closure on the Great Commission. Sometimes people don't know why they're here. We get caught up in, you know what's going on earth. That we need a massive prayer surge. In our upcoming event that we're having, he gave us some things. He said there's three things: prayer, praise, and missions. He said that's what I want to be your focus. So you might say, well, you know, you're wanting the Great Commission to come that is going to require this prayer surge. But it's often been said the fate of the world is in the hands of nameless saints. If you look in Ezekiel 36, there's a parallel story of cause and effect. There's a vivid acting where interaction between God's sovereign intent and man's intercession. So we see that God's sovereign intent and God's sovereign, his plan, again, it goes back to us doing our part in the intercessory prayer and coming along and walking alongside with God. You know, God is sovereign, so, oh, God doesn't need us. Well, you know, God, in his word, in the way it's that, even the angels, they are right now, they're waiting on us to give commands. Yeah. While we're here on earth. Even God, he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to do our part. And what God has called us to do, it's like, well, it's through the intercessory prayer that God is saying that we have the voice to be able to speak to that mountain, to speak to that nation, and God for the nation, just like in Ezekiel. Because we are partnering with God. You are God's partner. He is counting on you. Jesus has given you the command. He has passed you the baton. And he's asking, what are you going to do while you're here on earth? Are we going to get caught up in the, you know, 2.5 kids and the white picket fence? No, we have a family that's waiting on us. The nations are crying out. And God is waiting on you to partner with him. Yes, that's our job, partnering with him. And in Ezekiel, standing parallel story of cause and effect, there, I want you to look at you acting out your portion, your interaction between God's sovereign intent and man's intercession. God, he's given that spectacular promise of restoration to Israel. As if he put his seal of assurance on the promises. And then he goes on and he reiterates it. And he says, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Ezekiel 36:36. So when God backs up his promises like that, you can go to the bank with it and fulfill the promise and know that God is going to do it. He's saying, ask. He's saying, ask. And I will give the nations as your inheritance. He's saying, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Paul knew that in that very moment in history that it was requiring the most comprehensive effort that he could ever have. That's why Paul was pleading with the church and saying, I desire that you pray everywhere. So in this very hour, you've been appointed. Tag, you're it. You've been given the baton. Hey, God has given that promise. He said, I've spoken it. But if we look at the next verse, he's giving assurance to the people. He goes on to the promise, and it's a finish. It's a done deal. Because God says that we have to petition him in order to see the promise fulfilled. And we're saying, God, right now, whatever it is, we are petitioning you, God. In Jesus' name, for it to be fulfilled, we're asking for the nations, the sons and the daughters of God to come forth. That is our cry. That is our prayer. God, send us to the family of God that has not known your face and known your hand and known your ways. And he says, I'll let the house of Israel inquire of me and do this for them. That's the unfailing promise to us.
that he will get the glory from every nation, from every tribe, even the atheists, because it says every knee will bow. He's going to bow. And every tribe and every nation. But it's not going to happen until the people of God inquire of him to do this. So my petition to us today is let us inquire for the nations. That's our theme for this, our conference that we're having. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. God, we're petitioning, we're crying out for our awakening, God. And even before Jesus, just prior to him receiving worship from his completed church, what it comprised of men and women who have been redeemed from every people and every nation. We see that presentation was even made to him. The Lamb of God is presented. Golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. Come on, let's pray for our brothers and for our sisters. ISIS today, I looked on the news, and they're making commitment to ISIS and shooting at police officers in Philadelphia. What are we aiming at? What are we praying for? Let's have golden bowls full of incense, and that's my prayer today. God, let these prayers go into the golden bowls of the incense, God, that they may be full of prayers from the saints, crying out for all people, nations. So the worship from every tribe. Can you see the Kenyans praying and the Nigerians praying and the Japanese praying and the Chinese praying and the Brazilians praying and the Europeans praying and every tribe and nation coming together. That's what even Azusa was about. That's how it was on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. It says in Acts 2, and I think it starts up in 39 or so, it says that there were Arabs there. There were people from Mesopotamia. There were Jews. There were Greeks. Come on, there were people from Egypt. But what? They were praying, and they came together as brothers and as sisters in the Lord. In the same way God's given us that promise to every tribe and nation. And as those prayers and golden bowls full of incense are going up, we're praying for every tribe. And as those bowls of incense and the prayers of the saints are full for the great condition of the Great Commission. The great condition of the Great Commission is through the intercessory prayer, accelerated prayer for the harvest. Harvest generates laborers. Even where we're having our event, it's Harvest Time International. It's harvest time. That is prophetic. Unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. This comes through revelation, relationship, and with generations in mind. Are you ready for the prayer for the harvest? Is there a correlation between the fact that a lot of your advanced people that have prayer strategies. I think in Korea, my goodness, I've been in churches. They have 100,000 people in one church. I thought Park Young-hee Cho was something. But the churches we went to were like, Lord, where are all these? I'm talking massive churches like arenas, not one or two or three or four, but multitudes of big churches. But what do the Koreans do? They pray. In Singapore, they have huge churches. What do they do? It's accelerated prayer. And we're decreeing today for the family of God. We're talking about the spiritual aspect of intercession. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. And we're decreeing and declaring today for the spiritual family of the harvest of the nations and tribes, that our brothers and sisters come into the fullness of the Lord and receive the blessing. We're decreeing today accelerated prayer for the harvest that's going to generate the laborers. We need more missionaries per capita in America than any other nation. It used to be there were more missionaries per capita in America, but now my daughter has come to America to evangelize America from Kenya. Come on, America. Come on, nations. Let's get praying. Let's get the missionaries out there. It's not about the 9 to 5. It's not about the white picket fence and the 2.5 bay kids and the dog and the 2 Mercedes. We got caught up in the American nightmare, not the American dream. What are we going to do while we're here on earth? You made it in your mother's womb. You were that 1 millionth sperm that made it there. It's time to pray. It's harvest time. I think we need to have some type of cooperative prayer strategy for our family. Asia has it more than any other place. But we don't want to pray. A great man of God says, I don't get on with my work until I pray 6 hours. So we haven't prayed until we've prayed. So I want to bring these points out. We only have a few more minutes. 6 more minutes. Number one, prayer will revive us. It renews us. But it also can remake a nation. Come on. If we're going to have the missions movement and revival, that's why this upcoming summit, God said, pray, praise, and mission. We need a prayer movement. We need to renew our perspective, and I'm getting this in the spirit realm. We need to renew our priorities in praying and renew the vision of Christ. And what is going to happen? That's going to have us coming together. You know, I asked God when I went to Japan, me and Pastor Starr, and we had an intern who wanted to travel with us, and we shut in into a hotel. I said, God, what do you want us to do while we're in Japan? I woke up that morning, Starr was under the frame of the door, and there was an earthquake, 7 point something, and we were on the 7th floor. And all I could hear on the intercom was, ting-tong-tong, ting-tong-tong, ting-tong, elevator, you don't want elevator, which I knew that meant you don't get on the elevator. And I could understand earthquake. So God said, there's a shaking going on. And then I got up, and our intern was asleep, and Star had got up and prayed and had went, you know, under the door frame. She was in a safe place, nothing else. And I sit up, and I had a dream, and I'm going to have to close with this. I really didn't get into the message like I wanted to, but God knows. I had a dream of a whitewashed board, like a wall. And I saw an angelic being with a needle, like a sewing needle with thread. And he was sewing these pieces of cloth together. And in my spirit, I knew he wanted me to, he said, unity to the body of Christ. See, what we're doing is fighting one another and getting into an appeasing spirit where it's become sin to talk about sin anymore. Less long do we want to get together and pray. But the next point that I'm making as I close, we need to have unity. Because God said it when we come together. And then I had another dream, and I'll go into the very brief details of it and try to tell it in a few seconds or minutes. There was a group of pastors and bishops on one side. I was in the middle. And I could see a group of pastors and leaders going up a hill. But the hill was a very narrow edge, like a cliff. And am I going to turn over? And as I did, the car turned, and I went to help one of the pastors in the back seat, and he was so frail, and he was covered with a blanket. And when I picked him up, he was so white, almost like a feather. And when I looked to carry him to this place, which was like a manufacturer to help to heal those hurting, the wounded soldier, I looked down and there was a business envelope with names of pastors and leaders that the group on the right side of me, like the mafia, had crossed their names off like a hit list and in the spirit realm had destroyed them because of no unity, competitive jealousy, conspiracies of interruption to stop their vision. And the envelope began to move, and there was a foot that had been severed, and there was a hand that had been severed. And I had that foot in my hand in my dream, and I had that hand in my hand. And I kind of floated over to the main emergency entrance of the hospital to get help. And the people opened the door at the emergency unit and said, you need to see the head administrator. And a man came to me, which I believe he represents the Lord, and I told him what I'm telling you, and he said, I need you to help me with this because the church has been cutting one another's hands off to deter their walk and their feet to deter their walk, their hands, so that they can't heal. There's a whole lot of gossip going on. There's a whole lot of tearing down going on. I was thinking today about drama. It's a whole lot of drama going on. And as I close with this, God is saying that we need unity. And when we have resolve in the church, we can get on with the business of Christ together. See, because we're better together. And then we can expand and revitalize our ministry. We can expand the work of the kingdom where God and Christ has not been known among those who have been unreached. That's the family we're talking about today. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for a Lifetime Holiness. Remember, as you pray, you're going to be revitalized and renewed, and it can even remake the nation. And remember, we are asking and believing, and we are praying, and we're crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, Life Enrichment Ministries will take the nations as our inheritance, and we will do it together in Jesus' name. Remember, you haven't prayed until you prayed. You made it to earth. What are you going to do now? God bless you until next time. Make sure you tune in and share this with a friend.